Just a couple things. This morning, I felt like the Lord just showed me a couple things on the way to church. You know, I've talked about my yard before because I try to find agricultural points because our life, our heart, we are a garden. We do tend our garden. We do have soil. That's our heart. We do have seed. That's the word. We do have good soil. We got places along the path. We've got shallow places where the seeds sit. When someone preaches the word, the seeds go out. And it hits every place. And it hits the shallow ground. It hits the cracked places. It hits the places that have weeds and thorns. And then it hits the good soil as well. And, you know, I do not just buy fertilizer and good seed and things like that and soil and patching things for no reason. I expect something out of that. Right? Has anybody ever planted something? You expect something for your efforts, right? But I was recognizing, because a little patch of warm days that we've had, as I was walking out to the vehicle, I noticed where the pavement hits the concrete, there's a little crack. It looks like I planted that, because I did. I didn't mean to, but I planted it. That little bitty crack is just a green, beautiful little green strip of grass coming up through there. But it's a bit annoying because I didn't want it to grow there. I want it to grow up here. And I saw places where it's improving. I saw where it's getting better. But my point of that is that the seed finds the cracks too. And we can't just celebrate what the seed does in the area that we want it. There are also some cracks in our life where the seed goes. And the seed will make a demand on the soil. That's why that third part, Mark, I believe it's chapter 4, where it talks about the seed hitting the soil. At the third part, right before it hit the good soil, that's where some people got choked out because they loved the word, but they loved other things. And it said that it choked the word out of them, and it made a demand on them. That's the whole problem. That is, they got discouraged because of the word. It says they were offended because of the word. It says that plainly. They were offended because of the word. That's not where you get out. That's where you grow from. That offense of his word is on purpose. It's engineered there on purpose. Saw a couple other things. I have this silly little voice whenever we ride around. So on the corner of Celanese and Mount Gallant, there's a church there, good church. Those folks, we've been inside of there because they had a community outreach that they did. They're always feeding somebody. They're just doing lovely things for people, but they have exercise classes there. But I noticed this morning, because we get here early for different practices, different occasions, but there were people in their workout leotards or whatever you call them, running around the parking lot, going through the gaps of the building, exercising. They parked in the building, and I was using my silly voice. I said, "And I'm sure when you're through, you'll take a dry towel and go inside and really get in shape with the Lord." You know, sorry, it's silly. I said it was silly. I prefaced it. And then we come this way, and we get on Highway 21, and there's a church before you get to our church. And between that church and the Circle K, someone was just walking towards the Circle K. And I said, "I'm sure, young man, you're getting ready to grab a Sprite and turn around and head back to church." So I'm weird. Sometimes you realize you may have said too much. But that's okay. I will risk it because here's the fact. We do need to be in shape with his word. We need to be in his house. That's just a witness, and you missed it. See, I got things on my side too up here. No, that seriously, We don't know what could be legislated in the future for gatherings like this. When I prayed a minute ago, I purposely prayed for people that are hiding to worship. We don't have to hide to worship. I remember at COVID, when 5 weeks in, church members, church attenders are calling me saying, "Pastor, can we come back to church?" And I remember my response. Now, that's a strange thing. It's usually the pastor saying, "Will you come to church?" And y'all are saying, "Pastor, can we come to church?" I said, "We'll come." We opened up the doors. We don't know how long that will last, but I know this. Whatever is legislated and mandated, God's going to have a church. His word is true, and I'm not afraid to believe in it. And as one of his shepherds, I'm asking God to help me. I was talking to my son and my son-in-law yesterday about those, you know, one followed Paul, one followed Cephas, one followed Apollos. And some follow Jesus. For different reasons, people will follow someone that speaks. And if you looked at those characters, one was a hard preacher, and he had a following. Another one was an easier preacher, but a great shepherd, and people followed him. Jesus is the only one that can fulfill it all. But my role as a shepherd, rod and staff, you know, that's two different implements right there. It's for protection and correction. And that does not make it easy. And my temperament actually is more towards the softer side. That's kind of how I'm made up. So I'm not going to try to be something that I'm not, but I'm not going to apologize for his word either. Because he's the great shepherd. I'm literally just a voice. I'm going to read some things to you this morning. Some of the greatest reading, some of the greatest chapters, I think, in the book are Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's where we get the Beatitudes. That's where we get the Sermon on the Mount. And on the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has done so much teaching, and he's on a mountain and he's speaking to people. I'm just going to go ahead and pick up in verse 13. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate of chapter 7. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 13. Here we go. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see that? That's an action. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.' How sad, how horrible. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." More lawlessness in the United States has ever been than has ever been right now. Not even preaching about that, but I remember my mother years ago, she said, "Nobody ever says anything about lawlessness. Nobody ever preaches about lawlessness." We didn't really recognize what lawlessness was in the United States because we had a lot of respect for the men in blue on down. And I'm still very thankful for them. I appreciate authority. And I found myself on the wrong side of it before. And I'm not talking about robbing a bank or something like that, just like getting a speeding ticket or something like that. I learned to be respectful from that. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, this is what I'm trying to get to, these last few verses right here. Therefore, in other words, all of that to say this, not just all of that, all the way from the very beginning, chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore means everything that I just said gets us to this right here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And I always wondered the difference right there, because the elements that come and attack are the exact same elements for those that hear the word and do it and those that hear the word and don't do it. But at the end, for those who don't do it, it said this, it said that a fall would take place and it would be a great fall. Why? Because they heard everything to keep that from happening. They heard his word. Inside of his word was everything they needed to be blessed, to be wise before the Lord, to build your house on the rock, to be able to withstand every storm. But they didn't do it. They heard it. Hearing is not enough. Will you tell your neighbor that? Hearing is not enough. Say hearing is half of it. Now say this. Hearing is the small half. See what I'm saying? Doing's the big half. Doing's the big half. Turn to James, please. I sound so bossy this morning. Turn to James now. Authority. Jesus did it with authority. I would like to pick up James at verse 21. I'm sorry, James 1. James 1. It's talking about trials. So in other words, you're going to have trials. Pick up in 21. Trials are going to come. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. And help me to expound on it. Help it to bring you glory. Help it to teach us. Help it to draw us in. I know it will, because it's your word. It's the seed. It makes a demand on us. Let it make the demand and let our soil respond to the demand of the seed. And I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. I've talked to you last year about being disciples and what that meant, what it looked like most of the year last year. And one of the things that I talked about that kind of started with, and we found ourselves repeating this thing, is the danger of being an unbelieving believer. An unbelieving believer. We saw example. Do you find things in the Bible when you read it that you're just glad that that's in there? I'm so glad that that's in there. I'm glad that Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, struggled with his flesh to let me know that that struggle is real. No matter how deep and how far you try to go with God, that contention is always going to be there. And that we can have victory over that. It's not God's will for you to suffer. It's not God's will for you to struggle through your whole Christian walk. It's not His will for you to stumble through your Christian walk. It's His will for you to stand and move, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen? That's His will for us. That's His will for me. But to be an unbelieving believer, what a dangerous thing that would be. And right here is where some of that steers from. I love the story. I love the story where Jesus said anything is possible to him that believes. He was speaking to the man, and the man came to him with a need, and Jesus said anything's possible to him that believes. And the man said, "Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief." To be an unbelieving believer, I found myself in that position. And I'm sure you have too. That's part of the human condition. But here's how we come out of being an unbelieving believer. And we won't get there by being a forgetful hearer. We cannot be a forgetful hearer. We must be a doer. We must be a hearer. And then it requires a response to do something. Sometimes it's simple as standing. Sometimes it's a little more hard, a little more harsh it feels. Sometimes it's a little more confining, and that's why some people drop it right there. Because it would be easier to just get something from God than to have to do something. Amen? So to start off, after 10 minutes, last week was the first Sunday of the year, right? Yeah, I just checked it. It's right. It was the 4th. Somebody came to me immediately after church joking. Thankfully, they were joking. And they said this. They said, "Pastor, first Sunday of the year, and you didn't give us our word for the year." I thought that was hilarious. I immediately started laughing because some people to start the year off, they give their church a theme for the whole year. Well, I kind of did that last year, but mine was discipleship. We talked about discipleship all year. But I'm not talking about that type of word. I'm not talking about a word that requires much from you. I'm talking about when some guys will just give you a word like a cheer word or basically something that you're going to get. So that's an easy amen. I'm going to get that. It's going to happen for me. That man, something I've been waiting for, it's going to break through. Even that word right there, breakthrough. Breakthrough in the crowd. Hey, hallelujah. Breakthrough. Breakthrough what? Breakthrough what? He's breakthrough. Breakthrough what? Your mess that you created? Breakthrough. It might take a little bit more for my mess than just that word pastor gave, breakthrough. So I was laughing whenever he said, "I didn't give you my word." I said, I'm not going to give you a word. I'm going to give you the word, and it's going to take all year long. A lot of those words are prosperity words, a word of freedom, advancement, favor. Those aren't bad. Those are good. Those are a part. And it starts getting off course. Debt cancellation. Debt cancellation is great until somebody owes you something. And they come up to you and say, "Hey, my pastor said He got a word from the Lord for me, his debt cancellation. So praise the Lord. And the guy wants to pull a bat out and help you come back to reality. You got to pay me what you owe me. I don't care what your pastor said. Right? Silly stuff like that. And we'll fall for that if we're not careful. What if you got a word of the year of obedience? Hallelujah. I'm going to obey every time God says something. Wow! What about a year of personal responsibility? What about, here's where, everywhere you go, you're going to reflect Jesus. What about this? God's given us a word this year. It's a year of humility. See what I'm talking about? All those words come with an action behind them. Those aren't entitled words. Those are words that cost me something. And I'm going to tell you, a word that costs you something sounds more like a word from Him than a word that's just, y'all come get it. It's the best. God's buffet. There again. There goes God. Look at God. Hashtag blessed. My wife got a t-shirt or a sweatshirt that says blessed. And when she wears it, I say, sister hashtag. That's what I call her. Sister hashtag. I'm a big sister person or brother person. If you ever come to my house, you'd have to laugh because I'm going to find some reason to call you sister or brother. I'll look at my daughter. I'll say, sister ponytail. Sister overalls. Brother ball cap. You know, I do that because it's fun for me. I'm showing y'all more sides about me. You can throw that away. It doesn't mean a thing. I like to be playful like that. But when it comes to His words, we need words that are representative of more than just getting something. It's probably going to require that we be something. Because just getting something, that's the allure of those words. You know, you can get people to give a big offering off of words like that. What you going to get? What you going to get? $1,000. You put $1,000 in here, that house payment's going to go away. Go to your bank with that. Also, get that guy that told you that to sign his name to that. It's hard for me when people make promises for God that He didn't say. Because our human nature is to, when it doesn't go the way it was preached, then we blame God and we're blaming Him wrong because we're blaming Him for something He didn't even promise. That's the danger of that. That's the danger of that kind of stuff. And God will judge that. God will love people and God will help people get through that. But all of that fluff that's easy and entitled and no requirements and little to no change, that's just fluff, that's just itching ear fodder. Get, be, do, something to do. James 1:21 talks about the engrafted word which is able to save our soul. When something is engrafted, you literally take from a stem of one tree and put it into another tree, and you cut down and you place that stem of one tree down into that part of the tree. You know that. Because there's all this nutrition that's coming up through, right? And the deal is, what happens is, if you take that and you cut it and you put it inside and then you tie it or tape it, If it takes, then all of a sudden, this little shoot begins to grow and takes on an enormous amount of nutrition right there. And that's what it is to be engrafted into Him. And we have His Word engrafted into us. And now our spiritual supply is creating something inside of us that demands a response from us. Demands a response from us. Okay. So here we go. It is possible for people to get spiritually bored. Can we be honest enough to say, sometimes I just get bored spiritually? Logan was talking about his dad. After his dad, I love his dad. He's one of my favorite people. Good Baptist preacher. Just good old chicken raising, quail raising, Logan raising. Put him right there with the barnyard animals. Fisherman. He's my kind of guy. But Logan said when his dad had been preaching 10 years, he thought to himself, certainly, Dad, after 10 years of preaching, his dad's a preacher, after 10 years of preaching, you've preached it all by now, right? I can tell you this. There are times in my life as a pastor when I can feel so dry and think, what will I ever preach again? And then I just crack the book open and realize you'll never get it preached, not even close. That's feelings. That's feelings. We all have feelings. So it's okay for you to raise your hand and say, yeah, sometimes I get spiritually bored. One of our little friends in the neighborhood, he's at his mom's place of work a lot of time in the summer because he doesn't have anything else to do. And one time Christine said, what's wrong with Andrew? And his mom said, he gets bored. He gets bored. It just happens. I know from having raised three and having one still at the house, every time Walker comes home, he goes. He goes, he goes, he goes. He does not give himself a chance to get bored. And if he ever does run out of something to do, you can see that thing inside of him start to drift down and like find something else for him to do, and he's right back in the game again. He loves to move. He loves. It's in us to do that. It's in us to live. It's in us to do some things, okay? Spiritually speaking, when we open up His Word speaks to us. When you sit at a message, you hear things. When you get online, you listen to podcasts, those things come into you, and then it's up to you what you do with them. And here's what happens. If you receive knowledge without any application to movement on your part, you will get bored. You will get bored. And the danger is that you can come and hear and hear and hear, and if you never do, then you have not applied anything to yourself. Then you'll start looking for things, and I'll be a target of that, and the church will be a target of that. And it could be, well, I've heard that before. Listen, I've been preaching for a minute. I think this year marked 30 years. I know y'all can't believe it. Pastor, when did you start preaching? When you were 11? No, I was a little older. But when I did start preaching, I did 7 years of youth ministry, so I served my time. But when I started preaching, we had like 10 people. Now, we had left on our accord. We had left a church of thousands of people doing youth ministry. Yeah. And then we knew that God was telling us to do something, but I got a good wife. I'm telling you that. She's followed me and done some things. Well, we show up, and there's 10 people there. And they're all... Nothing wrong with it because I'm close to 60 myself, but the youngest person may have been 60. And it was from there to about 137 or 157. They were old, y'all. But one lady in particular, she's with the Lord now. She kept note of everything. It's my first year preaching. But she came to me at the end of a service with that gigantic Bible she had. It was a judgment Bible. My Bible's bigger than yours. And she said, Pastor, she's looking at me, sister. She said, you see right there? She said, you've already preached that. She said, I write down everything a pastor says, and I write the date. And she said, you've already preached that. Humble you. And then it'll bring something out of you. You can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it till you get tired of hearing it. And the problem isn't the preacher. The problem isn't the church. The problem is, well, here's, you said it. Here's the thing. His word requires an action. And if you just hear it and you don't do it, there's a problem. That's the problem right there. You can tag anybody with it. You can say you've already preached this. Let me tell you about a word that I preach. Because it's his word and it's alive. It'll go to one over here that's having an issue with finances. It'll go to one right here that's having an issue at home. It'll go right here. It'll touch somebody that needs healing. It'll touch somebody else that's got a conflict in their life. Because the word is alive, it goes to all the dead and dying places in us, and it speaks life to us. Praise the Lord for that. But it also requires something. And if we only hear the word and don't do, there's a problem. And it's coming. And it will show itself. It will show itself. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That word, deceiving yourself, there's a word for that. It's a Greek word. What it means is, It's the comparison of hearing the word and not doing the word. It's like all of you college students, y'all be familiar with this, auditing a class. That's where you sit in, but you don't get any credit. You heard the lecture, but you're not going to be tested on it. You heard the lecture. There's going to be no homework for it. You heard the lecture, and you get no credit. You didn't earn it. We cannot be an auditor of God's word. We have to be a doer of word. That's not my word. That's his word. And that's a problem. Whenever we hear it, we're grouped with everyone. But when we do it, we single ourselves out to God. And he says, that's my child. I will bless him because he said, there's a blessing if you'll do it. He attaches a blessing to those who will do it. Ever been to a service and the pastor says something and you'll hear somebody go, you'll hear, ooh, that's deep. Preach that. Say that. It kind of feels like they got this, but the rest of y'all need to hear what he said. You'll get your chance. Yeah. I have yet to scripture being read were people. That's deep. Say that. So we'll ooh and ah at men's words, but get quiet on God's word. I'm not saying that to get on to anybody. I'm just saying it's a human nature for us to start thinking. Just ask a question. Do you ever hear a word? Someone's preaching a word and you're like, I wish they were here. They needed to hear that. Can you just redirect that arrow and say, can I tell you how God is funny like that? I have gotten whole messages ready, and at the end of it, I'm like, that one will preach right there. And God's like, you like that? Good, because that was just for you. And you will not preach it. I'm like, oh. And he's right. Pride can get in us. And we can also try to think that we can preach something that we think somebody needs to hear when God's got it all by himself. The Lord showed me this week how I could just be quiet. Has the Lord ever showed you how you can just be quiet? Can I tell you, all I can say to that is thank you, Lord. Because what I missed was that he's working. I don't need to. I'm not adding anything to him. He's God all by himself. Let him work. Let him work. It's not that God won't use you. Not that he won't use your voice. But sometimes and I realized, I said, God, you're at work. You're at work. And I'm so grateful for that. The doer of the word has two characteristics at least. They have a prayer life, and it's probably a serious prayer life. And they also practice great discipline. A doer of the word, it will require discipline on your part. A doer of the word will require prayer on your part. Because even as you feel like you set in motion yourself to do what he said, if you're not very careful, you'll start trying to figure out now the next step. I got it. God, you just gave me the shove, God. Now I got it from here. It requires discipline. Sometimes that's my greatest discipline right there. Will I close my mouth? Will I shut my mouth? And you want to talk about it so much? Pray about it. You want to open your mouth? Pray about it. My dad humbled me. I don't know if we were, I think we were married. Do you remember that? At the dinner table? Yeah, we were, you remember, we were dating. She's like, yeah, we were dating. My dad blew me out of the water. She's like, yeah, I remember that time. We were dating. That was a good memory for you, wasn't it? Someone at church, my dad was the pastor, someone at church had said something about my mom. I was young, weightlifter, sports, all that stuff. I was going to fix that thing. Oh, I was going to fix it. And my dad, I said a few things. My dad said, John, stop. He gave me fair warning. John, I'm not going to talk about that. Well, I kept on. He's talking about my mom. I'm talking about my mama. You remember that? Let me see this. Say what? This is what someone talks about your mama. This is what happens. All of a sudden, you get wind streamed. You know what I'm talking about? You get aerodynamic when they talk about mama. And y'all women do it too. This is how women do it. They start popping off them earrings and taking them shoes off. Y'all do it too. You ever see anybody pop them earrings off? You better watch out. Them women ain't playing right there. If they'll give up earrings, they're ready to throw down. I was so ready to throw down, and my dad got angry at me. And he said, John, I said don't say another word. If you want to say another word about that person, we'll get on this floor right now and we'll start praying for them. That one stuck. He cut me deep. But he engrafted God's word right there where he cut me deep and implanted his word right there. And it's still growing inside of me. Will you come, Christine? My plan, here's the plan. Preach God's word. I'm going to share with you the vision. God's word going forth. Ministry's taking place. Things happening. But my plan and my goal is that we will not just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. If we get that one done, it's limitless. You talk about a word that'll get you from here to there. Doer of the word. Doer of the word. Can you say that this morning? God, make me a doer of your word. Forgive me for the times I've been a forgetful hearer. Forgive me of the times I've been a forgetful hearer. Forgive me of the times that I've been an unbelieving believer. Help me to be a doer of the word. And please, God, help me not to just hear your word and then not do your word. Because it demands a response or you wouldn't have given it to us. I love that scripture where Jesus said, talking about heaven, he said, the way you know. And one of the disciples said, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where the way is. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way. Where I go, you know the way. And they said, we don't know the way. Jesus said this. I love this. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That just takes an emphasis right there and encapsulates everything he says for a reason. If it were not so, I would have told you. So the things that he's told us are things that are so, and they are things that we need to know, and there are things that will probably require a go out of us. And I just gave y'all 3 points in a poem right there. Bottom line is this: if he said it, it's our responsibility from that point. If we've heard it, it's our responsibility right there to do it. Amen. Amen. Will you just take this time right now of consecration to the Lord? Say, Lord, I've heard your word. There's no denying it. I've heard your word. At least those parts that were scripture that pastor said, those are your words, Lord. I heard those words. Help me to be a doer of your word. Help me to not be a hearer only of your word. Help me to be a doer of your word. Even when I'm not sure, even when I question, help me to learn to trust in that place so I know you're God and I'm not. But you gave that word for me. I need to receive that word. So I receive that word and I'll do it. So just to read it one more time, just so you know. Just so you know, it is a word where you get something. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive. See, I told you sometimes we just want the word as in to get something, but this is a word where you get something because he said, receive it with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul, but when you receive it, that's not the end of it, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Am I serious? There's a few questions. Am I serious about the Word of God and its application in my life? Am I simply an auditor who has no intention of doing the Word? Am I doing something with the Word I've preached? Or am I among those who hear the Word but do not act on what they have heard? Two more questions. Does God consider me to be a hearer or a doer of the Word? Because He's watching down, so He knows the truth there. And the final question would be from Him. Why did you hear it and didn't do it? I'm going to leave you with those questions. You know where you stand. There's always room for improvement. There's none of us that's going to say, I did them all, Pastor John, ready for my next assignment. Come on. But to be moving towards Him and saying, God, Your word, it's real, it's alive, it's for me. I've got dead places, I've got dying places in it. Come, let Your word live inside of me. In You I live, move, have my being. Thank You, Jesus. Can you just say thank You for Your word, Lord? I'm going to be a doer of Your word. God's going to help me do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.